You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, for your presence, for your grace. God, here we are. Your day, your time. God, thank you very, very, very much. We think of the sick and the needy and the world system and all of the different things going on. And God, in the midst of it all, and then there's you. God, here we are. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And if we may, in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 1. And we have shared together in our study in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, the Comforter must come, Spirit of God, to make everything happen. It is his assignment to make God real and relevant anywhere and everywhere. It's his assignment. So, and in the light of that, in the light of the day in which we live at this particular time, so if we can, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, and the Spirit of God is going to encourage the Corinthians that are having their needs, problems. And in chapter 1, you'll pick up that which you're familiar with in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And He's the God, using Old Testament. He's the Elohim. He's the God. God, in his wonderful essence, nature, being, is the God of all comfort. Hang on to that. And we share together the comfort. Has to do with coming alongside, coming to the need, to be an ally, to assist, to help, to do whatever is needed, to come along for all of the benefits, to bring all the benefits to one's need, to rescue one, to help one, to encourage one. And that, so therefore, in verse 3, he's the God of all comfort and encouragement. He comes, and no matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter where, he comes, and it's his wonderful assignment to bring all of the resources and riches of God's wonderful presence and person to the human heart. Now, so as we're reading and as we share together in verse 3, he is the God of all of that. There's nothing left. There's nothing left out that he doesn't cover, that he doesn't take care of. Nothing. And all of it belongs to him. There is no lack. There is no need. There is no shortage whatsoever in what he does and how he does it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and he's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Father of mercies, and God the Father, and the God of all comfort. And we share together, as you keep reading without doing all of it, in verse 4, 5, and 6, etc., he is able to go and bring comfort. I'll read verse 4 to get it. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, exercise, squeezing, pressure, whatever we're facing, however we're facing it, that purpose that we may be able to comfort, to be an encouragement to them which are in any trouble, same trouble, tribulation, pressure, squeezing, whatever it is, same word, By how are we going to comfort? How are we going to be in encouragement? Because God has rescued us, encouraged us, strengthened us, come to our aid in whatever, in any way, every way that's possible. And therefore, being able to have all being comforted, encouraged, and relieved in every way, coming to our rescue. Therefore, we're able to comfort, the end of verse 4, therewith by ourselves we are comforted of God. We're able to go and encourage others that want to be encouraged and not to panic and not to get in way off base, to stay on target, to stay on course. There's no need to get off, of course. And the danger is, and the key is to get us off course any way, shape, or form, to get us off base. And our present world situation is a good illustration. To get people off base, to get them out of sync in whatever they're doing, to change everything. Now, he is the God of all comfort. Now I want to put that together, if I can. Back over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up the thought again, he's the God of all comfort. He is the comforter, the advocate, the ally, the one who comes to our aid. And therefore, God in the upper room, remember, encouraging the disciples that are going to be left out there, and we've done all of these things over the days in our study of 13, 14, 15, 16 of the Gospel of John. Now, here they are in their need. They're in great need. They don't see the answer. They hear God's trying to help them, but they just can't lock on to it. But he's certainly giving them everything they need to know. He told them simply in John chapter 14, he told them he was going to the Father. And in telling them he was going to the Father, going away, it was an ominous time. They're going to be crucified, but they don't quite understand all that in its fullness. So therefore, he's going away. Now, what did he do to try to help them? I'm going to my Father. And remember in John chapter 14, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, in the process, I'll read it, verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So they wanted to see where he was going to the Father. And he tried to help him in his most simple fashion. If you're looking at him, you're standing right in front of him. Right in front of him, they could touch him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am my Father or one, he would say. Wow. They didn't get it. They just didn't get it. That was too awesome. So, God, you got to help them. They ought to have been delighted to proceed, no matter what, in the light of that. But they didn't. So when we come to chapter 14, verse 16, and the Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another, remember, of this little verb of the same kind. God is the God of all comfort. He's the comfort God in his total essence, nature, being. The Father is the comforter. The Son, God had sent his Son. He's the comforter. He comes to encourage, come to ally, to aid, to assist, to advocate, to be everything, anything and everything. That's what he is. And, verse 17, and the Lord Jesus said in verse 16, I'm going to give you another one. God the Father, comforter. God the Son, comforter. God the Holy Ghost, comforter. And verse 17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We're going to cover that now. Pick that up next time in the light of chapter 16. Now, so here's the Comforter, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God in his wonderful fullness, in his awesomeness, he's the Comforter. Now, and therefore, we go to verse 18. Chapter 14, verse 18. And I will leave, and I will not leave you. The Father's the Comforter. The Son's the Comforter. God the Holy Spirit's the Comforter. The God the Holy Spirit is going to come and to comfort, encourage them, encourage the disciples. So when we come to verse 18, I'm not going to leave, exit, disappear. I'm not going to take a journey and leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. Comfortless, remember, as we did that, is the word orphan. The easy way to get this, easy, fatherless. Comfortless. Fatherless. Father. Fatherless. He's the Comforter. He will not leave you what? Fatherless. Orphaned. He won't leave you without the Father. The Lord Jesus standing in front of him, I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am not going to leave you alone. In all of my fullness, in all of the wonderfulness of me standing in front of you, covering every base, every need you have, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you an orphan, fatherless. I'm not going to let that happen. Nope, not at all. In fact, the Spirit of God, I'm going to go to the cross. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all possible because of my death, that I and my Father, back over to verse, for time's sake, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place, many mansions, make our abode. We're going to find our home in his heart, her heart. That's what I'm going to do. Now, God, I'm not going to leave you without a Father. I'm not going to leave you without God. I'm not going to leave you without encouragement. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're going to have all, everything. I am your everything. I have kept you for 3 1/3 years, and all you did is enjoy my keeping, shepherding you. And now you're going to discover, at day of Pentecost, etc., after the cross, you're going to discover that my wonderful presence that you could only look at, not understand, and not even connect to, that wonderful person that stood before you, stands before you in the upper room, is going to find his home in your heart. My Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God is going to be your comforter, your encouragement in his totality. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In his awesome being, he's going to be your comforter in the journey as you go through time in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, you don't. You can look there just for the sake of doing it. Over to Matthew chapter 6. And remind yourself, if the people had honored him at the time, Israel, they might have had discovered the wonderful truths. But we're going to look at it, and God has recorded it for us. Chapter 6 and verse 30, Matthew 6, 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? They need to have believed. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, have a divided mind. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or whether shall we be clothed? In other words, the basic needs of life. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, lining up in line to get a toothbrush. So it's crowded. I gotta get it. Panic. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And God knows. God knows. The Father. I am not going to leave you fatherless. Now, see, we're all men and fathers and whatever we are. We are. No. God said, you'll discover that's our pride gets us up there, you know. And then we discover what? We're just little children. Highly, super, wonderfully dependent upon our great God and Savior, our Creator, our Savior. God, where are we going to be without you? Nothing and no one comes between us. God, thick or thin, like me, Shadrach, and Abednego, no matter how it falls, God, you're the centerpiece. You don't get pushed to the circumference. You don't get pushed to be as a spoke on the wheel of many spokes. No, God, you're the centerpiece to make it all come together. I will not leave you fatherless, my Father. What are you going to say, Spirit of God, to the believing heart, present tense? Abba, Father. Spirit of God, are you ever going to, you don't honor yourself ever. You don't ever honor yourself. No, I honor the Son. And why do we honor the Son? In order to honor the Father. You can't know the Father apart from the Son and his death on the cross. You can't know him. What's it all about, Father? To know you. To know you, to have a father. In a fatherless world. You'll remember the book that was written a few years ago in our country. I forget the title of it exactly. But it was a society, our nation, had become fatherless. Fatherless. Our nation needs a father. Where's the Father? Wow. And the world is going to fulfill that with an Antichrist. Now, having said that, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you have enough. You have God, we're going to put you first. And, verse 34, take therefore no thought, don't be anxious, divided mind, always. For the morrow, don't worry about tomorrow. No, we haven't got to tomorrow. For the tomorrow shall take thought. There's enough things to be thinking about, divided the mind, and worry about. For tomorrow take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient, enough unto the day is the evil thereof, all of it. And where does all fear come from? We can't do it now. I'll lose my thought. Evil is the source of fear. You realize that? Evil. It's your old nature. And Mark chapter 7, etc., one of the great listing that God gives, let alone all the rest he doesn't give, one of the problems you have in your human nature, nothing to do with, you're just born with it. You're Adam and Eve, Adam gave it to us, is evil. And evil causes fear. That's why we get afraid. That's why we have all the phobias. Fear. If you didn't have evil, you wouldn't have any fear. It's evil. That evil. What is evil? All of that which is minus God and his goodness. Evil. Suffering, sin, sorrow, suffering, and every other thing that comes from the absence of God, evil. And that's what it comes, a shortage of this, and we need that, and all the different things that drive us. Wow. Evil. If you didn't have evil, you would have no problem. But because it's evil, that's why you do, and the world acts like it does. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, enough, verse 34, enough today is enough to worry, think about. Don't get caught up in everything. We're going to trust God. Father knoweth what we need today. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is another time. We have not got there yet. Now, having said that little bit, over to Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, picking up, please, in thought, God is encouraging them in the upper room before he goes out to the crucifixion to be comforted, encouraged, because he's not going to leave them fatherless. He himself, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, God is going to be in his fullness in the heart. And therefore, God, if God is there in his fullness, what on earth can be missing? Nothing. Wow. Psalm 89, a wonderful psalm about God's wonderful faithfulness, etc. And in the process of Psalm 89, as you read, you're going to pick up, if I can, in verse 20. And God hits his faithfulness 500 times, it seems. God is faithful. Now, in particular, verse 20, I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil, and I have anointed him. David set apart. Let's skip, if I can, down to verse 23. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. God's going to protect David in an awesome way. Verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his animal horn, for defensive weapons and offensive, the rhinoceros horn, the elephant horn, etc. This horn shall be exalted, that which is up in front to give him recognition, etc. My faithfulness, my mercy will be with him, and I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. I'm going to give him wonderful power. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, my rock of my salvation. So what is David going to say? You're my Father, you're my God, you're my salvation. David, are you going to understand that? I am. My God, I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I understand. Now, David, got that in his head. I want to keep that. And I will make him, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. I'm going to slide down if I can. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now, God, he's going to look to you as a father. Are you going to take care of him, God? He is. Are you going to flunk out? Are you going to go on vacation? Are you going to get tired? Are you going to get discouraged? No. I'm going to be faithful. Going to be faithful no matter who, what, when, where. Now, David, I'm trying to get in David's little heart. It's a wonderful heart to get into. Wow. Apart from David's old nature. It's a wonderful heart. Now, David, let me take a look at you again. Over to Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, picking up, please. And you would recall, this is David. David's older. And he's traveled down the corridor of time. And I'll read it to pick up where I would like to go in the light of being fatherless. You're not fatherless. No. You don't need. The world's busy trying to survive, trying to succeed, overcome. And a little parenthesis, if you think whatever's going on in our global society at the moment, if you just move ahead mentally in the light of Revelation, chapter 9, etc., and move ahead mentally, when all of terribleness breaks loose, what do you think the world's going to be like then? All you got to do is watch them now with nothing, comparatively. What's it going to be like when there's really a wolf at the door? What's it going to be like then? You got a little taste of it, a little taste, over nothing, comparatively. Now, if I can, here's Psalm 23. And here's David, father, my father, he said, my father, my savior, my God. And God, you're not going to disappoint David? No, I'm not. So David, are you going to be faithful in your faithfulness, in God's faithfulness? Yes. The Lord is my shepherd, verse 1, 23. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. So far, that sounds good. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All of those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truths are there, without question. Now, how am I going to enjoy those wonderful truths? Because, verse 4, yea, though, moreover, even when, little words to open up the verse, yea, though, even, moreover, etc. I'm right there. Even though right now, you just said, the Lord is my shepherd, and you take care of everything, and leads us in paths of righteousness, and God, you're a wonderful God. But even though I say all of these wonderful things, even though, verse 4, I walk, I am walking, behavior, the word used of movement, a river flowing, clouds moving, behavior. Even though I'm living. I get out of bed in the morning and do whatever and try to live a little life and work my little daily life out. That's what I do. Yea, though I'm living, I'm walking. Yea, though I'm walking through. But David, your daily living, through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley, even though I am walking imperfect, I am proceeding to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of deep darkness. Pitch blackness is the word. Dark. We keep going. We're going to turn the clock and the calendar, and the year changes, the sun rises and sets, and we proceed. And the awesome future, we can't see it. By faith, we walk by faith. Think of the evening. We walk by faith. But we can't see it. So what are we walking? We're walking in a world. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. Isn't there anyone? The system doesn't want light. The world system doesn't want life. L-I-F-E. So they're dead in trespasses and sin, and they love darkness. And in the process of loving darkness, so the world system tomorrow morning, are they going to love light? No. Is the world system next month going to love light or dark light? No. So every time you get out of bed, you're living in a world that loves darkness and death. They don't want life. They don't want to know God. So when does it get light? It doesn't. That's the point. I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death. That's where I'm going. I'm in the process of going down the... And all of these benefits are there. He's my Father, my Savior, my God. Wow. And I'm going down the corridor of time. And in this darkness, deep, deep darkness, wow, it doesn't go away. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You thought it was going away because it had a bad week, a good week, bad week, up and down, up and down. But it never goes away. It never disappears. It's dark. And when you're 99, 110, whatever it is, what difference does it make? It didn't change. It's when you're young, you think it's bright and cheery until you grow up a little bit, and then you start thinking about things and seeing things differently. But in the process, it's always dark. There's no encouragement in it. Never. It's always what it is. Let's make it easier for you. Do you know you live, however old you are, you live in your present body, most of you? I'm going to give you 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks I want to know what's going to be different in your body besides this wearing out. Aren't you going to be in the same body 2 weeks from now? You're in it now. It ain't going to get better. A year from now, are you going to change your body? No. It's the same nice body you're living in. It doesn't change. You're living in the same world. It doesn't change. Yea, though I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death, go with me, please, over to catch the flavor of it. Over, if I can, over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 2. Remember in our study of Jeremiah. Thank you. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, may I pick up, please, in thought, you'll catch it quickly. Verse 6, Jeremiah 2, 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through the land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwells. You wanted to know what their 40 years in the wilderness was like. We just read it. And God kept him in that same wilderness for 40 years. It never got better. It never became a blossoming oasis. It stayed desert, start to finish. The difference was God kept them in the dreary, dull, dead desert. God kept him. Chapter 13. Picking up, if I may, you'll remember it in our study. Chapter 13, going to verse 15. Jeremiah 13, 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give mercy, give glory to the Lord your God. Before, you could change your heart attitude, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, trying to walk down daily life, week after week, month after month. Feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turneth it into the shadow of death and maketh it gross darkness. God, we're going to do it without you, but but there is no, it doesn't get better. A whole nother week, a whole nother year. It isn't any better. Still dark, still the same. Everything's the same. We're looking. We aren't going to find it that way because we're leaving God out. When you leave God out, you aren't going to get anywhere. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep, said Jeremiah, in secret places for your pride and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captivity, etc. You don't change. You aren't paying attention. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 6, the Gentiles seek after, that's what they seek. They seek to survive, to succeed, to have success, to have a measure of good satisfaction of being alive on planet Earth, and they're doing it without me. By the way, with me, you don't bring up those things, you just do them. You enjoy what you have, and think of all the wonderful truths, Philippians, etc. When you have much, enjoy it. When you have little, enjoy it. You learn to what? Enjoy who I am, your Father. I'm not leaving you fatherless. So I let you go down and come up. Go down and come up. I'm letting you learn. It's not what you, it isn't your body. It isn't your world. It's God's wonderful person in whose presence we sit. And God, here we are. Father, what are you doing? I'm teaching you to look to me with all your heart so you don't get caught up and get sidetracked off the course of life, running the race down the corridor of time. And you get sidetracked, caught up in anything and everything, and you don't run. You look to me. I want you down the end of this road. Look to me and you'll get there. If you look everywhere else, you get all tied up in knots, trying to figure everything out, trying to make everything work. And humanity is a very volatile, unstabilizing thing. If you're trusting, you remember the Lord said it in the end of Isaiah chapter 2. Cursed are you if you trust anyone that breathes air. How stupid can you be to breathe? You're depending on someone whose next breath, and if they don't take that next breath, they're dead, and you're trusting that person. What a person to trust. Wow. No. I will not leave you fatherless, comfortless at all. Now hang on. Now, so God, here we are looking in your wonderful grace. Over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, picking up in thought, please. May I go, I'm going to slide right along for time's sake, over if I can, to verse 10. No, I'm going to verse 9. 107:9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, no hope, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands asunder. God, verse 15, oh that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. God, can you get them? Save them? Absolutely. But I let them, they aren't, when I get saved, they become children of light. And they live in a world of darkness. Darkness hates light, but they're saved to be children of light in the darkness. That's what I want. The world isn't going to change. People aren't going to change. You changed. You came to know the Lord as your Savior. That's what changed. And you have a father, a wonderful father. And you're able to say, my father, my God and father. We're able to say it. The world can't say that. The world doesn't know the God of all comfort. They don't know. They don't want to know. But you do. So as you go through the muck and the mire, the easy, the hard, the much, the little, you proceed down the corridor of time, looking to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way, for God to honor himself, to outwork his wonderful will in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would, for time's sake. Over to Romans 8. I can't go back there now, for time's sake, but you know Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep, deep entrenched darkness. It doesn't change. It's always the same. Doesn't get better. And if I'm hoping it gets better, it isn't going to get better. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Evil's the trouble. That's my evil heart, and I live in an evil world that loves darkness and death. I live in it. It's all around me. It isn't going to go away. And if I'm caught, if I'm looking at it, and I leave light out, I leave you out, God, then I'm all alone. But I'm not fatherless. On the contrary, I'm not comfortless. God, right there. So to go down the corridor, that's right. I will fear no evil. Why not? Thou art with me. That's why. Father, not alone. Thou art with me. And then, wonderfully, we know time to do it. Thy rod and thy staff, they do what, dear friends? They comfort me. David, thank you, David, to help us. Here we are, way ahead of you in the corridor in history, looking back. And we're looking at life in a world around us with the stress and strains and comings and goings as history outworks itself. God, that's right. But are you David, if he could speak aloud to us? Is he with you? Is he in you? Father? Yes. Wow. Romans 8. Romans 8, if I can. Picking up, please, in thought. Romans 8, and in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, let's see if I can read it. Who can be against us? Does that say that? Now, I want you all to take 2.5 seconds, find somebody who can override God. We got 2.5 seconds. Find me somebody that can override God, his presence. Find anything that can override God's presence. You can't. No, sir. And back to Daniel 3 again. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, etc., Meshach. You know, they could live in a dumb fire. The world's trying to get rid of them. But you know what? They're walking around in that fire. Now, God, can you do that? Absolutely. Am I going to believe God or not? Am I going to trust God and use your good common sense and practical sense and you eat the right foods and you don't do things based on your body, based on your, everyone has a different system and stuff. You have to live with that, whatever, and you work around it, in it, in spite of it. That's what you do. And trust God. No? That's what you do. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things. All, no matter what they are. Life, death, everything. You name whatever you want. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, God. More than, above, beyond measure, over and above, a little word, over, above, beyond, surpassing measure, victory. Nay, God, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're more than. Can you overcome it? Can you survive it? Absolutely. Are we going to believe God and move down the corridor of time with thanksgiving? And that's what we're going to do. That's what God wants. Is God able? Absolutely. If God doesn't want that, and I put you in a glass bubble, and I'm going to give you a big bubble, big glass bubble, I'm going to put you in the big glass bubble, there you are, and in the big glass bubble, you're going to be there, and I'm going to protect you, right, from all of the world. I'm going to give you pure oxygen. No, that'll do it. And there you are in that bubble, right? Let's see if a germ can get in there, right? Old nasty germs. The trouble is, your body has millions and billions of the good guys and the bad guys fighting. No? You're loaded with them. Millions. Bad bacteria, good bacteria. And you took that into the bubble. The only way we could get you into the bubble is not put you in the bubble, because the bubble needs to stay clean. But you aren't clean. You carry the dumb germs wherever you are. You are the germs. Is that all right? You're the germs. You're not going to get rid of them. No. So there's no way. No way to keep clean. Everyone stay 10 feet away. From what? So you don't get my germs. See, we got them. I understand caution and everything, and you won't overdo and be presumptuous. But, there's just no way to escape. And if I get caught up in that, I'm never going to escape. No, I got to live. And that's why if you went down to some country, right now if I went down to Mexico, I can't drink their water. I'd be sick. But you know what? They drink the water, shower with it and everything. Because their immune system. We've got the immune system, we breathe it. That's why you take honey. If you can get honey, local honey, it's got all the immune system from the local flowers. Honey from Asia doesn't have the local everything. You have your immune system. You're feeding it. Germs, come. Come, germs. So my immune system can grow and stay strong, you see. I'm just trying to get you to think about it. You know, years ago, you'll remember, on the ship at sea, traveling out there in the ocean, and a storm occurred, and the ship was in danger. And the ship was in danger out there. And the crew, the people down below, passengers, were all afraid. All talk and afraid. So one of the passengers said, let me see. And he tried to work his way up to where the captain was on the ship. And he worked his way up to ask the captain how it was going. And the ship's all over the place. Wow. And he goes up and goes to ask the captain, are we going to make it? Are we going to be safe? And as he stuck his head through the door, the captain turned and smiled. And the man closed the door and went back to the people down below. What did he say? He looked at me and smiled. We're okay. We're okay. Our Father and God, thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. God, we're going to stumble through everything. God, help us to try to think right, do right, come out right without falling apart. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name, amen.